Good morning, everybody. These 7:30 a.m. sessions come pretty early, and so I really appreciate you being here and coming on time. And I'm looking forward to a time of worship today and also a message from Brian Shackman. I've never heard Brian, so they just kind of randomly put us together in these things a lot of times. So I'm looking forward to hearing Brian today, too. But we share quite a few mutual friends, and I'm looking forward to hearing from him this morning. Let's stand together as we begin a time of worship. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. There is an endless song echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring. And though the storms may come, I am holding on. And to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing Your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is Your love? How can I keep from shouting Your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives. And I will walk with You, knowing You'll see me through, and sing the songs You give. How can I keep from singing Your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is Your love? How can I keep from shouting Your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. How can I keep from singing Your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is Your love? How can I keep from shouting Your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing.
Have a seat, everyone.
Good morning. As Matt said, my name is Brian. I work at the Glendale Church of Christ, which is about 30 minutes east of here, and it's an honor to be with you this morning. Thank you to some friends who've made the trip out from there today. So I played high school baseball. Whenever I say that, I use the word played loosely because I didn't play very often. Mostly I watched. But I was a relief pitcher on my high school team. And every once in a while I would get into the game. But there was one game specifically that I always remember because the coach said, hey, go get warmed up. And I went down to the bullpen to get ready to go. And then he turned to me after I'd come back and said, Shaq, which is what they called me, are you ready to go? And I said, sure, I'm ready. And the coach said, all right. So he starts to go out to the mound. And I thought that meant it was time for me to head into the game. So I start to follow him as he's going. And he turns a second too late to realize that I was taking a step over the line. And he says, Shaqman, no. Because once you step over the line, you have to enter the game. And so he yells, Shaqman, no. And then I have to go into the game, which, if you've never had that happen to you before, is the least intimidating way to enter into a sporting event. Because you get yelled at to not go in, and then they have to put you in. Most closers get like Hell's Bells or Enter Sandman played when they come in. When I came in, it was, Shaqman, no. And now entering the game, Brian Shaqman, number 17 for the Burroughs Indians. And it was a very unintimidating way to enter into that moment. And I'll always remember that time and that moment because it was a time that I just always think about how weird it is that I could have taken a step anywhere in the world except for over that line. And that was the problem. If I would have not taken that step, if he would have turned around just a few seconds earlier, I could have returned to the bench and watched the game like I normally did. But I had to enter in and go play. And to my credit, I did get the save that day. I figured it out, and we got the win, so it was the right thing to do. God led me to that moment, perhaps. But I think about that, how so much of life we can view as inside the lines or outside the lines. And I think we can do that spiritually as well. I know that many of us probably in this room are people who lead, who are active, people who do a lot for our churches, people who are involved in ministries, people who speak, people who lead worship. And it's easy to start to think, I think subtly at first, that there's certain moments when God is present and maybe more present. Times like this, Pepperdine Bible lectures, or when you're gathered on Sunday morning for worship, there are times when God can be more present. I think it's subtle that at first you don't necessarily believe that, but you can start to think that God is only inside the lines at certain times and certain places. We desperately need to allow God to work on us as leaders, as people who represent God, to not only our churches, but people around the world. We desperately need God to do work in us outside the lines. So when we are inside the lines and we're representing God to other people, we can show people what God is truly like. Today I want to spend a few minutes thinking about a familiar story when Moses hears a fresh word from the Lord. His life has settled down. He's gotten married. He's just really moved on. He's doing something different. He wouldn't have expected to hear anything from God. At this point in his life, he's selling insurance and things are going just fine. I mean, life is just really chilled out. If you were to use a word to describe him at this point, you'd say Moses is comfortable. There's no real reason for him to hear a word from God. There's nothing that he might expect. But still, God calls him with a fresh word. So let me read from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, which shows you how comfortable he is. He's working for his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place you're standing is holy ground. He said further, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So Moses gets this fresh word. God comes to him in this burning bush and says, Moses, Moses. He becomes aware that this is a holy moment. God asks him to remove his shoes because there's something sacred that's about to happen. When I think about this moment, and when we often think about this moment collectively, I know for me, I think, I wish I had that. I wish God would come to me and tell me what my ministry should do, what thing we should be involved in our city, the things that God would call us to do, the people that God would call us to be. Maybe God could give me the lottery numbers and then I'd use all the money for good, right? And then like you wouldn't even use it for yourself. So God, please just come through at one point. We wish that we could have some sort of sign, something that God would say to us or show us. But actually, as you view that conversation that continues, it's very interesting to notice that it's really just about Moses learning to trust. And to continue going forward, that God would be the thing that Moses would depend on, because over and over and over again in Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4, God is the one who's the verb, the subject of all the verbs. I will be with you. I will stretch out. I will perform. I'm not letting you do this alone. What you have to do is go to do this unbelievable task, but in every moment, trust me. And we often think of this burning bush moment as a neon sign and this thing that was just unmistakable. There's no way Moses could miss it. But actually, I love what Rabbi Lawrence Kushner says about this moment. He says, people usually explain that the burning bush, it's kind of small, but it's up there, the burning bush to attract Moses, was used to attract Moses' attention. But suppose you were God and could do anything you wanted, split the Red Sea, make the sun stand still, set up a pillar of fire. Compared with such spectacular displays, a burning bush is not very impressive. So why did God choose such a modest miracle? Perhaps the burning bush wasn't a miracle, but a test. God wanted to find out if Moses could see mystery in something as ordinary as a bush on fire. In order to see it as a miracle, Moses had to watch the flames long enough to realize that the branches were not being consumed and that something awesome was happening. Once God saw that Moses could pay attention, God spoke to him. Again, we typically think of the burning bush as this neon sign moment, this unmistakable thing. But Moses looks at this bush which is burning. And in a desert place in the wilderness, that's not that uncommon. Moses sees that something uncommon is happening here as he continues to look. He realizes that something is remarkable is happening, and he starts to pay attention. When he pays attention, God speaks. This is one of the hardest things for us to do as people who represent God to others. People who regularly preach or speak or lead singing, or people who lead ministries in our churches. I know some in this room preach regularly. Some in this room lead worship often. Some of you are really important in your ministries. And you're here at Pepperdine Bible Lectures. Not only are you here at Bible Lectures, but you're here at the 7:30 session. So you're the good ones. I mean, don't tell anybody else, but I mean, that's the truth. You're here at the 7:30 session. And you're the ones in your churches that you're the 20% that does 80% of the work, and you grumble about it, but you're still doing 80% of the work, right? And you're the ones who are keeping the doors open. You're the ones who are there at all the things. You're the ones who are doing these kinds of things. And it's easy, again, it's subtle to start to believe that God is only in those moments because you're working so hard for God in those places. And we can forget to pay attention to the ordinary moments, to the bushes that just won't burn out, to the times that God wants to work on us and our hearts outside the line so that we can continue to allow God to lead us when we are part of our ministries. How easy is it for those who lead to become burned out, to walk away, because they weren't necessarily deeply pursuing God in places that looked ordinary, in the bushes that just wouldn't burn out? And think about why this is important. It's first important because we need to recognize the holiness of God, but then also we need to allow God to work on our hearts. In the chapter right before this, Moses sees that the slaves that are in the field look like him, and so he goes and there's this Egyptian who is oppressing one of the slaves, and he gets mad about it, so he kills that Egyptian. And the verses right after that, the next day, he sees two Israelites fighting and he goes to break it up. And they say, well, are you going to kill us like that other one? And he gets nervous about that. So he has his anchorman moment when he realizes he's going to have to lay low for a little while and go chill out for a bit. That starts the trajectory of his life where he isn't necessarily ready for God to call, where he gets a bit comfortable. But Moses murders this Egyptian. And really, if you were to think about it, it's a good thing that he is first impulse to do. He has the right mission. Slavery and oppression are things that God is against. Someone lording power over someone, that's something that God is against. He has the right mission, but he does it in the wrong way. In his response to darkness that he sees outside in the world, he lets the darkness that's in his heart overcome. And the thing that he sees in someone else and the injustice that he sees in the world, he responds without justice. And before we get excited about doing ministry in our city, before we get excited about working on the darkness in our world, we need to allow God to work on the darkness in us. How many of us, if we're honest, have done some pretty unchristian things for Christian reasons? Gossiped about people? Led from anxiety because we're nervous that if we don't do something, God won't? Fought for power and control and done things behind the scenes because we think we can just do it better than anyone else? How many of us have done unchristian things for Christian purposes? You want to say to Moses, Moses, I get it. Slavery is wrong. Let's start an anti-human trafficking campaign. Maybe let's do bracelets and t-shirts. We could start with something like that so you can do some work on that in the world. But Moses, dude, did you have to kill him? Did you have to go through with that? Be careful about the darkness that is inside you. Don't let that darkness overcome the darkness that you see in the world. Don't allow the things that you see to cause you to react in such a way that the darkness that's in you wouldn't be disrupted, that the darkness that we can easily give way to would take over. Whenever you're on a flight, they'll come on and give that little spiel that nobody really listens to about how if there's an emergency and the air masks come down, that it's going to be tempting for you to help those who are children and the older people around you because you think that's the best thing to do, but in reality, you need to put your mask on first so you would breathe good air. The longer that you're breathing good air, the better you can serve the people that are around you. This is so true spiritually as well. It's not helpful for us if we aren't breathing in the right air. It's not helpful for us as we try to help the world if we aren't deeply inhaling from the well of God. If we aren't deeply in tune with who God is in the world, so we would know how good our Father is, and that also the darkness would be disrupted in us. And the problem with this is we can get pretty good at doing things in our own power. We can get pretty good at, you know, doing our own ministries and performing things okay. You can get to a point that the only time you believe the gospel is when you're up talking about it in front of people. You can get to a point where you believe in God only when you're trying to show God to other people instead of allowing God to do work on your heart in ordinary places, outside the lines, when no one is watching. I love how God calls Moses to take his shoes off. We all need times in our lives where we, at least metaphorically, take our shoes off before God. Where we humble ourselves before our Savior, where we recognize just how good our God is, where we, with our hearts, come fully before our Lord, where we spend time reflecting on who our God is. In churches of Christ, I think we can get this a little bit wrong sometimes because our churches are very informal. That's a good thing about our churches. There's some great things in that, but oftentimes I think we can miss the holiness, the set apartness of God and how we practice things. I love a story that Jerry Rushford tells about when N.T. Wright was here on campus many years ago for an event that they were having, and N.T. went to church on campus here at the Malibu Church of Christ, and Jerry was asking him about his experience in that church, and N.T. said, it was really wonderful. I enjoyed the preaching a lot. That was great. And I really enjoyed your a cappella worship. It was beautiful to have everybody participating. But there was one moment that really surprised me during your service. And Jerry was interested. He said, what are you talking about? He said, well, there's this point that somebody was just passing trays down a row. And I realized all of a sudden, I said to my wife, sweet mercy, are we taking Holy Communion right now? We are a church that generally is pretty informal in how we practice things. And N.T. Wright, being from the Anglican tradition, was very surprised by that. As people who are from a low church tradition, I think we can easily focus maybe too much and not realize just how powerful and good our God is. In a low church tradition, we can have a pretty low understanding of the holiness, the set-apartness of God. I love how our churches practice the things that we do. But may we be people who find ways and find times to truly take our shoes off, to see the holiness of our Lord, to remember how good our Father is. There's a great story in a book Diane Disney wrote about her father. And she says that her father was very specific, that he really went out of his way to make sure that she didn't know who he was. He didn't want to spoil her and didn't really want to make it a big deal. So when she was in first grade one time, she introduced herself and said, "Hey, my name is Diane Disney," and the class started to laugh. And she was confused about that, so she asked the teacher, "Why is everybody laughing?" And the teacher said, "Well, Disney, are you related to that family?" And she wasn't really sure what to do with this question. And the teacher said, "Well, what's your dad's name?" And she said, "Walter." And the teacher said, "Yeah, like Walt Disney." And she still didn't really fully get it. And then the teacher said, "Like, Mickey Mouse is your pet?" She still didn't fully get what was going on. So she went home later that day, frustrated. She remembers going into her father's room, and he was sitting in his regular chair reading the paper, and she ripped the newspaper out of his hand and said, "You didn't tell me you were Walt Disney?" She wrote that she walked around for the next several months stunned at who her father was. She had this completely different understanding of who her dad was. May we understand who our Father is. That we would find time to take our shoes off and worship, so we would recognize the holiness of God. That the darkness in us would be disrupted. Before we do work in Egypt, we have to do work in worship. God needs to work on our hearts so that if we do try to do ministry in the world, if we're launched out, if we're trying to do good things for God, we wouldn't take shortcuts with unchristian ways. We wouldn't take little shortcuts to make things go faster, that we would let God be the one who actually is leading us. The Israelites, after they have the powerful moment of being released from slavery, they very quickly turn and make a golden calf to represent a god. They start to worship this golden calf. And I think we have the exact same impulse. We want a God who is controllable. We want a God who's handleable. We want one that we can put our hands around, that we can see, that we can touch, that we can be in charge of. We need to be people who are desperate for the presence of the one true God. And who is it that you're worshiping? Who is it that you come together during our worship times to worship? Who is it that you pursue in your day-to-day? Who is it that inside the lines and outside the lines you're putting your heart before? I mean, we need to be people who truly understand how good our God is. And I know some of us come from churches maybe right now that are struggling. And you're wondering, is God really in what I'm doing? I'm putting this effort in, I'm trying to do this, but I'm nearing burnout. And maybe you need to sit before God and hear that you are God's beloved child, that you're God's son or daughter, and the work that you're doing matters deeply. Maybe your church is having some success. Things seem to be going pretty well. And if you're in that place, maybe you need to hear, humble your heart before God so that you would continue to lead through Him. May we all understand that we desperately need encounters with God outside the lines, so as we minister inside the lines, we are doing God's work and not our own. May we understand who God is and what God calls us to do, who God calls us to be. May we spend time in awe of our Lord, that God would be the one who runs our ministries and not us. I think we desperately need to hear this story, maybe now more than ever. As I reflected on a recent experience that I had, I was going to a dance show, a modern dance and ballet show for one of the teens in the youth group in my church. And as I was driving there, she sent a text message to me and said, "Are you coming tonight still?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm on the way." And she said, "Well, just FYI, I wanted to let you know my back is hurting and my hip is hurting a little bit, so I don't know that things are going to go all that well tonight." And I said, "Okay, I'm sure it'll be great, but I'm coming. I'll see you there." And I know you might be surprised by this, but I'm not a modern dance or ballet expert. I know you're like probably pretty surprised. You probably expect me to have a Swan Lake t-shirt on under this or something, but actually, no, I don't. And the show was fantastic. She was wonderful. She could have messed up 1,000 times. I would have had absolutely no idea and thought it was great. And as I thought about that over the next week, I realized that if I was in high school with this technology, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have said, because oftentimes, as I mentioned, I didn't actually play in the baseball games that I was at, "Hey, are you coming to the game today? Just FYI, I'm probably not going to pitch because the coach doesn't like me, or I pitched one inning a week ago and my arm's tired," or whatever. I would have come up with things to say, just FYI, I'm probably not going to play. I'm probably not going to be part of this. I just wanted to reach out and let you know. I thought about how I would have done that in high school and how I still do that all the time, telling my own version of things in the world. And one of the things that I think is dangerous about technology is through texting, through social media, we can constantly put our versions of stories out there. We can say things that are from our side, that are from our perspective. We can always be narrating the world just from our own viewpoint. We can tell our own version of the story constantly. And when we hear about things like fake news, we think of the news network that we don't like. But we all contribute to fake news. We all put versions of stories out there that are only half-truths to make us look a little better. We have the ability to constantly tell our own version of stories. And that's why I think we desperately need to hear the truth about us. We desperately need to hear the truth in good ways, the ways that God loves us more deeply than we ever could have imagined. We also need to hear the truth about us where the darkness needs to be disrupted, where we might have passions, or we might have things that we feel God has called us to do, but we would do those things in the right ways, that the ways we would respond would honor God in the things that we do, in the ways that we are. And we need a God who would tell the truth about us. We need encounters with God in a burning bush, in moments that seem ordinary. And may we never worship just an idealized version of ourselves, but a God who calls us from bushes that won't burn out. A God who calls men and women in ordinary moments to a story that goes way beyond them. A story that we don't feel prepared for. A story that will never, ever end. May we recognize the holiness of God. May we find ways to take our shoes off. We have an extended period of worship now. We plan that intentionally because I hope this will be a time this morning and as we continue throughout the Bible lectures for you to truly worship God. May this be a time where you come before the Lord and realize how good our God is and the things that He's challenging us all to do and be. Let's pray. God, as we worship now, may our hearts truly come before you. May we be challenged to be the people that you've called us to be. May we realize how good you are and also the ways that you disrupt the darkness in us so that we can change the world for your glory. Father, continue to work in us so that we may be a blessing to the world. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, Lord. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer all my way. I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's glow its day may brighter. Nothing good in me. You are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, you are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, you are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, you are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life, in you death has lost its sting. Oh, I'm running.
Let's stand
to
and sing.
Your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. You are more, you are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, you are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. Light of the world, forever reign. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Again, thank you all for being here. I hope that as we worship this week and as we continue to pursue and worship God, we would remember to find times to take our shoes off, to worship the God who has so much good things to say about us, and also that we would allow God to disrupt the darkness in us, that we would do good in the world. Go in peace.